can't do that in the shirt. Titty.
Titty just
apple out of car.
Flop, flop, flop. All right. Oh, we ready.
We all ready.
I feel like we're forgetting something. Are we forgetting something?
We have all the ingredients.
Or are we just unusually prepared?
I feel like we're just unusually prepared.
This is wild.
We know what we're doing, apparently.
For the first time in all of our lives.
You know, the first time in 9 episodes.
You know, that's not a bad track record, to be honest with you.
Not a bad track record. Mm-mm. I don't know about it.
Mm-mm. Well, anyway. Brain cell!
Hello!
Recording time!
Come in, come in!
Do I or do I not sound like the person from Haunted Mansion? Fuck, what's her name in the globe?
Madam...
Leona! Damn, Brain that's who I should have dressed cell. As right now.
That should be your Halloween costume. We can get like one of those rolling carts that they have at hotels and just put you in there.
Oh my god, I want to do it so
around.
Bad. Yes! Oh my gosh, I would love it. Wait, who would you be? One of the ghosts?
I'd have to be maybe like the maid ghost lady. So. I love that. All right, ready?
Ready. Hello!
What's up, guys?
How are y'all?
I hope you're good.
Yeah. Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy Complex, the only podcast combining
the only
a conspiracy,
yes,
and a cocktail.
Yep, that's Lainey.
In the same episode.
That's
Lainey. This is still. I'm still me. yes. Thank you, Meg.
You're welcome.
And that is Meg. And if you are new here, you may or may not know this, but we start off with a cocktail every single episode. We teach y'all how to make it, and then we use that as a drinking game.
Yes.
So this week, I will be presenting a conspiracy to Megan.
And I will be drinking
The
cocktail we make, so let's hope it's good.
We'll play a drinking game in a little bit, so stick around for that. But first, without further ado...
Let's do this!
Let's do this! So this week, first of all, is Disney-themed.
As you can tell.
Exactly.
Hence the ears.
Hence the ears, and the drink, and the conspiracy. So,
yes.
We are starting off with a drink that is called the Scream Canister from the Lamplight Lounge in California Adventure. This recipe was brought to my attention by the Instagram. So, thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
So, what we are going to start off with is 1.5 ounces of orange juice.
Okay. Does this make one drink or two?
Oh, this makes one drink. Oh, thank you so much.
So
this makes
ounces.
One drink. So yes, 3 ounces.
We're making two.
Did you want me to pour? Or did you want to pour? I feel like you pour every episode, so I feel bad.
I don't care. I'm chilling. Do you want to pour?
I don't care.
You want to practice your pouring skills?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So
do your thing.
3 ounces.
So 3 ounces of orange juice to start. So Delaney's gonna pour it this time. She's gonna do a great job. She needs 3 right on the money.
I got 2.
You're close. It's close.
Okay, cool,
okay,
cool.
Next,
we need 3 ounces of pineapple juice.
3 ounces? Oh, so we need the whole can because that's 6 ounces. Right?
Oh, no, 3 for like.
Oh,
both
so it's
drinks.
1.5.
Yeah.
I did the math. Don't do that. So,
don't do that.
It's 3 ounces for 2 Ooh. Drinks or 1.5 ounces. That's okay. I'll just smell like a pineapple. It'll be great.
It's not a, you could smell like worse things, I tell you
I
what.
Definitely could.
All right, and then we need 2 ounces of cream of coconut.
This stuff looks questionable.
But it is creamy. And it is probably from a coconut.
It's part of it, at least,
You'll
is
see.
Probably from a coconut. Questionably looking, but I'm sure it's good.
There you go. A little
Perfect.
Extra.
A little extra.
And 4 ounces of spiced rum.
We are using Captain Morgan.
Me.
When things get quiet, I start singing
do,
the VeggieTales theme song. So.
This, we need the lid.
We shake a shake.
And we shake a shake.
Shake.
And then do it really cool while you're like.
I don't know if I might drop it.
Ooh. Oh! Look at us doing basic bartending things and thinking we're professional.
We're not.
Need some ice. And in addition to the cream of coconut looking questionable, so do ice balls.
My ball is stuck.
I'm just gotta like hold it, squeeze it, and love it a little bit, and then give it a little tappy tap.
Unless I don't like that. I don't know.
Oh, I feel like this one's almost out. Oh my god, these don't fit in the fucking glass. Look at this. Look at this shit, Megan. God damn it. All right, so 6 ounces in each cup if you're following along at home and over making ice. Two, just like us. Yep, pour it over ice. If you're making one, obviously, you're just halving this recipe.
That's only 4 ounces. That's 1 ounce at a time, apparently, is how we're doing this today. Perfect.
All right. And then we are adding bitters.
Just like a dropper.
Just putting like a little bit over
you. A bloop.
Eddie bloop bloop.
While you do that, I'm going to skewer.
Ooh, yes. We do have a couple garnishes today. Okay, this is not how I thought bitters were coming out. What the fuck? I think that's probably a lot. I don't know. We've never used bitters before, guys, so. But you're going to be topping it with some orange bitters. And then Meg bought the cutest little umbrella toothpicks. We are going to be skewering some pineapples right across.
Like the top?
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go. Right across the top, just like this.
Super cute.
All right, so then once you've got your drink poured over the ice, threw some bitters in it. You garnish with a pineapple. In the recipe, it says a pineapple and a cherry. We don't have any cherries, we just have pineapples, but we did the cute little umbrella. So now it's time to drink.
What it's like.
Yeah, cheers.
Woo!
I like it.
Pretty good.
It tastes a little bit like a pina colada.
Cinnamony though.
Yeah, it does have a little bit of cinnamon. The spice rum adds some cinnamon in there.
Yeah.
But it tastes a little bit like a cinnamon orange pina colada.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
I fuck with it.
I like it. We are getting better at these drinks. Thank the Lord, honestly.
Thank God. Those first couple ones, woo! They were rough.
But yeah, no, I'm not mad at this at all. I'm low-key kind of jealous that I don't get to drink it, but. But anyway, guys, I hope you made a drink with us. If you didn't, though, that is totally okay.
Don't drink pressure. If you can't.
Well, please only drink legally. Drink if you are of age in your area of the world.
Absolutely.
Also, please drink responsibly if you are drinking along with us. But if you're not, that's totally fine. You can have some water. You can have some tea. Water,
juice. Coffee.
Mm-hmm. Soda.
You don't have to drink anything. You can just listen to us.
But we will be playing a drinking game in a little bit, so you'll maybe want to grab something if you want to play along with us.
Well, me.
Yeah, play along with Meg. I just get to tell y'all some fun stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait.
But
we'll be right back
with the rest of episode 9. Okay.
It's on.
It's a go.
It's a go. Let me grab my drink.
Welcome back, y'all.
What's up?
Did you miss us?
You should have.
We know you did. It's fine. It's a rhetorical question.
You don't have to answer. I'm thinking about this pineapple.
Do it. Anyway. Oh, that probably sounded great in the mic. A little more ASMR than you wanted, isn't it? Or maybe not. You got some slurp in there, so. She got a Cash App. I'll link it down below.
But yeah, pineapple's coming off. The umbrella was cute. But
for the aesthetic.
For the aesthetic. Nothing but more. Trying to stir. Listen, I just don't want the coconut to congeal at the bottom. I know. It's a gross word. It's a bad one. From a coconut's questionable looking. That's all I'm going to say. we had this discussion off camera, but.
Again, she has a Cash App link down below.
You're welcome.
You can see some cream of coconut if you get what.
Are you trying to like pimp me out right now?
No, because I wasn't getting a 10% cut, but now I will. I'll link my Cash App down below. Solely for Megan's purposes.
Anyway.
Anyway.
We're talking about a Disney conspiracy theory, for God's sakes.
This is not a kid-friendly podcast at this point.
It never has been. Turn back now.
Yeah, that's true. Let's do this. Alrighty-roo. If y'all know what movie that's from, 10 points.
Mm-hmm. 10 points for you. Mm-hmm. Always.
But now it's time for part two of our podcast, which is the conspiracy and the drinking game. So, does everybody have their drinks in hand?
I do. It's right here.
And we have a backup for her.
I'll probably need it. I've heard this is a lengthier one, so... Yeah, we got some to work through.
We got some to work through. I'm sorry, guys. I just do a deep dive, and I really just get into a rabbit hole, and I dig.
She really just goes.
Megan has a different approach, where you just find the super funny ones, and you touch on them.
Yeah.
And I love it, I really wish I could do that.
The next one I do is probably going to be, like, a deep dive, because I already know.
Ooh, I can't wait. That's going to be a good one. I already can tell. Every time Meg gets excited about something, I know it's going to be a good one. Because when she gets excited, I get excited, and vice versa.
Yes, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun time. That's why this podcast is good.
Exactly. Because we're both hype.
Yeah, all the time.
Exactly. But anyway. Anyways. Without further ado, I know we always start off with a guessing game.
Yes.
I feel like I gave you a category.
Yes.
With the ears and the drink.
You're very festive with it, so what I'm thinking is definitely not it. Because you would not be this happy about it if it was.
It might be what... Mine is not a happy one.
Okay. Does it have to do with the Disney parks?
Partially.
Does it have to do with children?
Fucking where are you going with this?
Because I don't think it's where I'm going. Conspiracy theory that I've seen, we haven't covered it, is that like Disney parks are like a front for human trafficking.
Tell me why in all of my research over the past 2.5 days, I never once came across that
really?
One. No, or I would have added it. Oh, fucking TikTok gets me again.
That's where my brain went. And I was like, I don't think she would be, like, trying to make it festive.
No, it is not that one, guys. I have not checked in on that. However, if you wanted to do a follow-up on this one with that, you definitely could.
Maybe I might be changing my next one.
I mean, you do you, boo. But yeah, no, I didn't see that one at all. Okay. That's wild.
Let's hear it then. Cool. I don't have any other guesses.
So I did a deep dive into one. And then I have, like, I think I have two other fun ones in here that I just, like, kind of touch on. Oh, I have three that I touch on where I just am, like, disproving them.
Uh-huh.
And then I have one that I did a deep dive on.
Okay. Oh, wait, what's my word?
Oh, Disney.
Oh,
I really don't say it that much, though. I really don't.
So, for those of you that are new here, we have a buzzword, and you have to drink every single time we say the buzzword. This episode, the buzzword is Disney.
So every time you hear that word come out my mouth, you're taking a drink along with Meg. If you are watching on YouTube, you will see the drink counter pop up along here.
Somewhere.
If you're listening on Spotify, we have not figured out a sound.
We haven't done that yet. Also, these are all just theories. We are involving a very prominent company that's very powerful.
Yes.
So it's important to note that these are all just theories.
Yes. No. Theories, no accusations.
It's all speculation. It's just...
all speculation.
Yeah.
And clearly this is for fun and games because we're literally wearing our Disney ears. We are huge Disney fans.
Huge Disney people.
Before we started recording just now, we were literally talking about getting annual passes and going every quarter. So...
taking a little podcast vacation. So...
exactly. So this is not in any way to besmirch the company name. Mm-hmm. This is just, again... we're reporting facts.
we're reporting theories.
We're
don't
reporting
listen to her. You're going to get us sued.
We are reporting what we've heard and what the research on the great internets has offered. But without further ado, so the main theory...
let's hear it.
...is that Disney controls your mind.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I can see it, honestly.
Right?
Let's go. Mm-hmm. Let's dive in.
So,
oh, your drink.
Oh yeah, that was already one for everybody drinking along at home.
Strap in, y'all.
Now, before I get started with that main theory, I want to do some history, and then we'll get into it.
Perfect.
So strap in. Hope you're on a road trip or something where you're listening to this,
because
it's gonna be long.
That was me putting my seatbelt on.
I loved it.
Thank you.
So, starting off with the history, Walt Disney. Was born December 5th, 1901 in Chicago.
He's a Sagittarius.
He's a Sagittarius, that boy is. And he died December 15th, 1966 in Burbank. So he had just turned 65.
Interesting.
He died from complications of a surgery due to lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He was a very avid smoker.
So the history of the company is that he himself moved to Kansas City, Missouri in 1919.
Mm-hmm.
He was employed as an occasional draftsman and inker in a commercial art studio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where he met Ubi Iwerks when they were both 18 years old.
Who?
Ubi.
Ubi?
Iwerks.
Iwerks.
Yep.
That's a real name.
I know.
All right.
He is a son of a German immigrant, and that is a German-ass name.
Yeah, that's a German-ass name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, he met Ubi. They started a friendship and eventually went on to create a small studio of their own 3 years later, in 1922. And they are actually the ones that created Alice in Cartoonland, which was their most famous cartoon, which then later on tumbled into Alice in Wonderland.
Love.
They had to file bankruptcy the following year because their film distributor cheated them out of a bunch of money.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then that is when Mr. Walt Disney moved out to California with his brother, Roy.
Mm-hmm.
And he started a new studio. He then convinced Ubi to join. And that is when invented Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Huh. Have you heard about him?
I've heard of Oswald. I think I've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was like a black and white cartoon.
Uh-huh.
He was invented in 1924.
Uh-huh.
He has like long ears.
Yeah, yeah. I know he exactly has, what like, you're talking
about. Yeah, similar overalls to Mickey. They did 26 cartoons with Oswald.
Cute.
And it was supposed to be a big success, but Ubi actually worked for Universal at the time.
Oh.
So Universal ended up claiming the rights to Oswald. Yeah.
That's wild.
So they got cheated out of that. But it was a happy little mistake because then they went back to the drawing board and created Mickey Mouse. Had they kept Oswald, they would have never had a Mickey Mouse.
And we love Mickey Mouse.
Clearly. Oh, and fun fact. So in 2006, Disney actually facilitated a trade with Universal to get the rights for Oswald.
They gave him.
The reporter Al Michaels. Fucking right. Al Michaels was reporting on ESPN at the time.
Uh-huh.
And apparently NBC.
And Disney owns ESPN.
Yeah, and Disney owns ESPN. Mm-hmm. And apparently NBC wanted him for Friday Night Football. And so those were the terms they drafted in the contract and they traded them. So now Disney has the rights to Oswald again.
Hell yeah.
Could you imagine being Al Michaels though? You're like, I got fucking traded for a cartoon.
A drawing of a rabbit from the 1920s. I mean, I know it's a very famous cartoon, don't get me wrong, but right. Interesting.
Fucking funny. Yeah, so then once Mickey Mouse started taking off and everything, then Disney and Ubi Iwerks started merchandise sales in around 1935. Then the company was one of the first studios to get in on television when that was created.
It was a good move, honestly.
Good move. So the Mickey Mouse Club started in 1955.
Love.
Then they came out with Zorro, which ran in 1957 to 59. And they added at least three more shows after that. So they kind of pigeonholed the television market for a little bit.
Nice. They'd be doing that.
They'd be doing that. Disneyland also opened in 1955. And Walt's slogan was marketed to the children of all ages, which is important to the philosophy of the company today.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a brief history of the park and the company and the man himself. But
the legend.
Exactly. All right, so now on to the real conspiracy theory and why we're here. So Disney can control your mind. So I have this broken down into categories because my brain was a-going. So do you want to hear about how they control you at the park or in reality?
Oh, let's start with the park. Let's ease into it.
Perfect. Okay. So in the park / psychologically, Disney has employed many different facets and many different technologies, aside from typical, you know, business marketing and all that good stuff. They have something called smellitizers. You know what smellitizers do? This is the most fun part of my research.
Is it like when you smell a perfume from that you wore like a certain time in your life and it like reminds you of it?
That's exactly what it is. So if y'all are not familiar like with basic psychology, scents. Exactly. So scent is proven to be...
that actually really does happen, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah! So scent is proven to be the most impactful sense you have and can also... system. Yeah, and also unlax. What am I fucking... I'm not even drinking!
She's making up her own words, guys.
And unlax all the memes. You said I was creating my own language, so I tried it.
I really thought you were trying to speak to me, and I was like, am I supposed to understand this?
It's supposed to unlock all of your memories. Oh. So scent is the most impactful at doing that and restoring the nostalgia.
I probably could have guessed that if I thought about it long enough, because you said, unlock all the memes.
Unlock the memes. Unlock the memes. I'm actor man.
We could really create our own language.
That one brain cell is like, no, 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 please, dear God, do not give me more to do.
My face hurts from laughing.
That is the goal of our podcast and friendship and life, really.
Okay. Once a smell.
Yes. It unlocks the memories.
Unlocks the memories.
Psychological trick. It's also why, like, realtors... bake essential oils in the oven to make it smell like cookies in there. It makes it smell like home and homey if you had a safe, stable childhood. But yeah, so this is essentially that technology built into the park. So this was made by an Imagineer named Bob McCarthy in 1981. He patented it in 1984.
Shuts up, Bob.
And I wish I could show you a picture of it right now, but it basically just looks like a speaker. And there's a lot of them in every single ride. Most of the corridors and streets, and Pirates has one. Haunted Mansion has
Everybody
one.
Everybody knows the smell of the Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
Exactly. And that is where it comes from. It does not come from the water. It does not come from the props. It comes from the smellitizers.
It's very particular.
Particular. I have the brain cell again. I feel it.
Are you trying to say specific and particular at the same time?
It's particular.
It's particular. It's a very specific smell.
It is.
That's all I was trying
to say. It's a little sea salty.
Yeah.
But it's a little like humid and like.
Yeah, it's kind of like almost like musty, but not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, because it's not an unpleasant smell.
It's like sea salty, but like.
It's a little bit more. It's a little than that.
I think it kind of smells like, you know what, like, a smoke machine smells like? It smells like sea salt and a smoke machine.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. That's exactly what it smells like. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else, but I got you. This brain cell.
One brain cell.
But yeah, so they have one. Haunted Mansion has one. Just to name a few, obviously they're in a lot of...
They're everywhere.
Everywhere. That but so most prominently, you can see them and smell them on Main Street. Yes. So Candy Palace on Main Street has three right in the front under the window.
I fucking love Candy Palace.
And they spray vanilla and candy scents.
Love it.
Yeah. And they look like speakers. So the next time you're at Candy Palace, you can also see these on YouTube. The big windows with the candy maker, the make a taffy and everything. Right below that, there's three circles that look like speakers. They're actually smellitizers. And they spray scents every 30 minutes.
Makes so much sense.
And so
that's why I always buy so much candy there.
That is exactly why. See? It's controlling your mind already. So the original one that Bob McCarthy created was used at Epcot in the Universe of Energy Pavilion.
Ooh.
And the aroma was supposed to be of an erupting volcano.
Huh.
I don't know what the fuck that smells like, but that's what it was supposed to be.
Fire and brimstone.
I guess so.
Shrek.
And then also the ones on Main Street below Main. The situation memes in the Main Street. So seasonally, the Main Street smellitizers will spray either pumpkin or peppermints. Is a quote from one of the designers that worked at Disney, Jody Jean Dreyer.
Jody Jean Dreyer.
That is a lot of D's and R's for me.
It's quite the name.
She said, smell can transport us to a time and feeling that we had long forgotten. So that is why they use the smellitizers.
I love that. That explains a lot of why Disneyland is so nostalgic for so many people.
Exactly. Because you're walking in, and what is the first thing you're going to? It's Main Street, and you're smelling the popcorn, you're smelling the candy, apparently, the seasonal flavors.
And, I mean, a lot of us, the first time we went, if you live on the West Coast, I guess I should say, a lot of us, the first time we went to Disneyland, we were kids. I mean, I was, like, 8, I think, the first time I went.
Yeah, I was little. I think it was, like, maybe 6 or 5. So, like,
that really, you don't remember that trip very much, but your brain will remember the smells, so that's crazy.
Exactly. And it can shoot up to 200 feet. Anyway, also... Also seen at the park, if you go to Disney World, then you've noticed that their signs for the public roads are all in purple and red. So that's not a normal thing. That's not a normal thing really anywhere. But they've done this because it has shown to be the most frequently remembered color combination when shown on the sign. So they're actually doing that for your benefit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And then they also control your... perception of the park by using forced perspective, especially when you see the castle and Main Street, specifically in Disney World. They didn't do this so much in Disneyland. I think Main Street is done this way in Disneyland, but as far as Disney World is concerned, they've done it both. Sorry, that was like 18. As far as the world is concerned, they've done it at the castle on Main Street.
Catching up.
I'm so sorry. I really didn't think I said it that much, which is why I picked that word, because I was like, oh, it's going to be in the front and then nothing else. My bad.
I just have to drive home later. It's fine.
The fucking shade. Jesus Christ.
That's how you know I'm drunk. I'm not mean in person.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not mean to Delaney usually.
That's true. So the forced perspective on Cinderella's castle, they used smaller bricks going up to the top of the castle. So they progressively get smaller as your eye draws away from it. Exactly. Oh. And the windows are actually done at an angle as well. To depict like more height than like that actually has.
Castle.
Exactly, because that is actually only 189 feet tall.
Really?
Yeah, because every
that's shorter building than in Florida. Actual castle I rappelled off of. I never told you that.
No, is this an Ireland story?
It's Wales, but yes.
Okay, oh, forgive me.
200 foot castle.
Too poor for this. Please tell me.
We went rappelling off of a 200 foot castle in Wales.
Oh, shit. That's dope.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
It was fun. That has nothing to do with the story, but it's shorter than that.
It is 11 feet taller than Cinderella's castle. But yeah, every building that's over 200 feet in Florida has to have the lights on it for airplanes so they don't hit it. And
that makes
sense. Didn't want to ruin the illusion of being in a fairy tale, so they did 189. Okay, and then a forced perspective on Main Street. So... the first floor is built to scale because that's where everyone's going into.
Right.
The second floor is actually built to 5/8 of the size of the first.
Oh.
And then the third is half of the scale of the first.
So it looks longer?
It looks taller because when you're looking up at it, you see that that's smaller. So your brain thinks that it's farther away. Mm-hmm. Those buildings are not that tall, like, at all.
No, but they look tall as fuck. I feel tiny in Disneyland.
Disney's interest in emotion actually goes... back almost 100 years. There is a cartoon called Reason and Emotion. It was actually a World War II propaganda cartoon. And it portrays the brain as two people grappling for control.
That's my brain.
Then the two people the depicted. Gemini, exactly.
That's my brain right there.
So the two people depicted are a caveman and an accountant.
Literally my brain.
So, yeah, it's very oversimplified. It's very dated for the time. It's very... but you get the point.
Yeah.
And this cartoon actually came full circle when they made the movie Inside Out in 2015.
That movie makes me cry every time.
So cute, right? Anyway, so the director, Pete Docter, actually consulted with psychologist Paul Ekman. He is actually the creator of facial coding. So categorizing each expression into a different human emotion and learning how to monetize that was him.
I don't know that I love that. I don't know that I even like it.
Because it's monetized?
Partially, but also categorizing each facial expression. Because I feel like facial expressions are so, at least in my opinion, they're like individualized.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Because like
you make different faces when you're happy, sad, whatever, than I do.
Yeah. I getcha. Well, they actually studies that he has done, mm-hmm. showing that there's over 1,000 different faces that a human makes.
Oh, I thought you meant like different, like face structures.
Oh, no, I was no, like, no.
Okay, they're
sorry. Facial expressions.
It's like 8 billion people, only 1,000 faces.
No, sorry. Facial expressions. There's over 1,000 different facial expressions. And each of those can be categorized into 6 different emotions.
Wild.
Which is where the 5 emotions in the movie actually came from. The 6th is surprise, but they decided it can surprise because the facial expressions were too similar to scared.
That's
so they
fair.
Did not use surprise.
They didn't want to confuse.
Exactly.
That's fair. That makes sense.
But yeah, so a lot of that data and research and education and information went into that movie, but that's also something that Disney has been using for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a quote-unquote secret lab in Austin, Texas.
Excuse me.
This lab performs neuromarketing studies. So neuromarketing is how the psychology and business psychology influences the way you make choices and how you feel about a company.
Huh.
Yeah. So they do a bunch of studies. One campaign that they were working on for mm-hmm. Disney specifically was to see how different types of internet ads affected the way people thought about the company or affected the way people interacted with the company as far as purchasing or changing their thoughts or feelings about the company. I think it did too. But this was first reported in the New York Times about 10 years ago. This particular lab has 8 research rooms decorated like living rooms / home offices. They also have a theater. So multiple people that are involved in the study can all collectively look at one image and discuss. These test subjects, one person was in one living room and one home office at a time. And they were all being watched through security cameras in the camera room. Much like you would watch mice in a maze.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know they were being recorded?
I'm sure they did, because this is like a big office building.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
Yeah, so I'm sure it was like a voluntary study. I don't think it was anybody like against their will or anything.
Okay, good. I don't like it.
These people, in addition to being watched, they also had eye tracking technology mm-hmm. on these people. So when they were on the computer and they were getting hit with these ads that they were testing them for, they saw that they tracked their eye movement
right
and see where it fell. They were also wearing heart rate monitors. They had skin temperature readers, and they also
were using full send.
Mm-hmm. They were also using the facial recognition technology.
That's wild.
For the emotions. So if you've wondered what Disney does behind the scenes, that is part of it. That's just one of the many things they have their hand in. But that is partially how they test their ads.
Okay.
So when an ad comes out, they ain't missing. Because they know exactly
what
you're
going
to do.
They really don't miss either.
They do not miss.
Because their ads really get me every time.
So that's just a little foray into how they control your reality and how you perceive them. So
can they make my reality better? That's my question.
They can if you go to the happiest place on earth.
True.
Mm.
You're not wrong.
I got you. And it's marketed to children of all ages, so.
Me.
Late 20s.
Oh, I'm like a.
Mid 20s.
Okay.
You did it to yourself.
I was gonna say I'm like a giant child, but then she went, mid 20s. Okay.
So, in your reality away from the park, Disney currently owns anywhere from 20 to 33% of the box office in any given year for the past 20 years.
Yeah, because they own like 90% of the film industry.
Yep. So they also dominate 28% of Entertainment Network's market after mm-hmm. acquisition of 20th/21st Century Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They own 33% of the kids' market share.
Mm-hmm.
They also own 52% of the market share for the park products/experiences. You know how much Six Flags owns of the park market share?
Huh.
3%.
Yikes.
That fucking killed me. I looked at that pie chart and I was dying. I was like, damn, they really ain't got no chance out here.
Disney really took over.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a higher percentage point, though. Like, I would have felt like they had more of a monopoly.
For parks?
Mm-hmm. And even in film. Because, I mean, they own 20th Century Fox. They have all the Pixar, they have Disney.
Oh, we'll talk about it. I got a whole
Marvel.
List. I got a whole list. But yeah, so they also own 2,225 active patents More than that, Sweet though, because there are some expired patents. Like this Melatizer is actually an expired patent. But they do technically still own it. They also monopolize retail sales. Mm-hmm. Guess how much they made based on retail sales alone last year.
I don't even want to know because it's disgusting.
$107.2 billion.
Yeah.
Plus 46% in royalties.
It's real gross.
Also earned more from super branding, mm-hmm. which is better known as collaboration. So mm-hmm. they collabed with ColourPop. They collabed with MAC. They collabed on clothing. They collabed with Target pretty frequently.
All the time.
They get a lot from that. That's where the majority of their royalties come from and licensed mm-hmm. merch. They also have a diverse portfolio, which we will get into. So that ensures that they
leave it to the Capricorn to bring up something. The diverse portfolio.
I thought about that when I made these notes. I was like, she's going to love this.
I legit just sent a meme to Delaney and it was like things Capricorns love or something. And I don't remember, but part of it was diverse portfolios and a good butt. And I was like,
a check and a check. Anyway. So their diverse portfolio ensures that they own something, quote, for each member of the family.
They really do, too.
So if you don't like Disney, you ain't escaping them because they got something for you. You just don't know that it's that they have it. So a fun fact real quick. 14 out of 20 of the top grossing films ever, Disney owned. So just examples of everything that they own. ABC, mm-hmm. which includes ABC the Analog Station and ABC News. ESPN, mm-hmm. Touchstone Pictures, which brought you really? Coyote Ugly, The Waterboy, and Pretty Woman.
I love all those movies. Mm-hmm.
They own 50% of A&E, Lifetime, and the History Channel.
Really?
They share that with Hearst. They own Pixar. Mm-hmm. They own a 24% stake in Vice Media.
Huh.
Also split with Hearst. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? Also split with Hearst.
They own Vice.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild to me.
Hollywood Records, which is Queen's record company. Mm-hmm. Perian Avenue, which is a newly established adult book publisher.
Huh.
Not adult in like erotic. Adult as in like adult fiction.
Gotcha.
Books.
And listen, if they wanted to do that though, they probably could.
They probably could. Ain't no one gonna stop them at this point.
Mm-mm.
20th/21st Century Fox, yeah. which also means they own FX, which mm-hmm. also means, for all y'all fans out there, they own American Horror Story.
Whoa.
They own Titanic. They own Deadpool. And they own Avatar. All 20th/21st Century Fox.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. They do not own Fox News. They sold that shit real quick.
They're like, get rid of this. This is a liability.
Exactly. And Fox Sports. They don't own Fox Sports either. They're like, get the fuck out of here. Also interesting ones. So they own a undisclosed percentage of GoPro.
Really?
They bought GoPro, I think it was 2013 or maybe 2018. But they would not disclose the percentage or amount. They own EarthStar Inc.
What's that?
I wrote it because it was something like different. I was trying to get like variety in here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a marketing company. It might be a software company. It's okay. One of them. Oh, and then Kapow Software. They own Kapow Software, which is a software company that specializes in facial recognition.
Of course they do.
And neuromarketing.
Of course they do.
So there's that. And to quote Jim Morrison, whoever controls the media controls the mind.
It's true.
So now we'll get into the media. So Disney is part of one of six corporations controlling 90% of the media in the U.S.
They control 90% of the media?
Yes. So them, so not Disney specifically, but Disney is one of six and collectively.
Oh, I thought you said Disney 90%. Itself controlled 90% of the media.
Oh,
I was like,
no. And be like Disneyland commercials every single day.
flashes of Disney just on your TV.
Like, I really want to ride this ride right now, and I don't know why.
I don't know what's happening. Subliminal messaging.
Exactly. Them, along with CBS,
mm-hmm.
Viacom,
okay.
AT&T, Comcast, and News Corp.
Okay.
They are the six that control 90% of the media.
Gotcha.
So obviously, there's like a bunch of different media channels and different outlets.
I got chills.
But this gives you the illusion of choice because they all fall under one of these umbrellas.
Whoa.
Now, compare that to 1983, where the 90% of the media was controlled by 50 different companies.
Oh, it's bad.
It's bad. It's just buyout on buyout on buyout on buyout.
That explains a lot.
And broken down even further, this means that 232 different executives control the information diet of the 277 million people in the United States.
I really hate that. Mm-hmm. 200 people?
200 people. So about one for every million.
I fucking hate it.
Yeah, it's not good.
So you're telling me 200 white guys control what?
There's some women in there. I checked. There's some women in there.
Are they all white, though?
I mean, listen, I wasn't going to go through rosters.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
I saw the mention of women, and therefore.
Okay.
There might be one. Who the fuck knows? But there's at least one.
Okay. We'll move on. But still, don't love it.
Nope. Broken down even further, News Corp is probably the only one that not a lot of people have heard of. Mm-hmm. It's the only one that I hadn't heard of in the top six. They actually are a newspaper company, and they own the top newspaper on three different continents. So they Sick. Own... The Australian in Australia. They own The Sun in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And Maybe they own The Times here. And then, broken down even further, Clear Channel owns 1,200 different radio stations.
Wow.
Yeah. But this is despite the 1995 FCC ruling that you could not own more than 40.
Oh.
And no one's done anything about it.
Oh.
So there's that.
Love that.
Yeah.
Great. These pineapples are going to be very alcoholy. They've been sitting in there for the entire time.
Hell yeah. So, Disney also diversifies their portfolio by partnering or investing in tech companies to gain access to up-and-coming tech products / advancements.
See, that's cool, though.
Exactly. That's good business. They're on the cutting edge of what pertains to them.
I'm
and
down with,
their
like...
client. Customers?
Customers. Clientele, customers.
Yeah, demographic.
Yeah. I'm cool with, like, them pouring their billions of dollars into technology development, because that's, like, the yeah. future of our world. I think that's cool.
Absolutely.
Because if you're going to make that much money, you might as well do something with it.
Exactly.
Something.
But are they using it for something insidious?
Right.
Or is it just...
That's a fair question, and I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that they're doing something good with it. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. That's about all I've got to say about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, I feel you. I'm the same way. But we'll talk more about it on the breakdown.
Okay.
Also, keep in mind that Disney employs so many people and mm-hmm. has employed so many people over the
years.
Practically 100 years that they've been around.
Right.
So that can only lead to having high-powered connections.
Right.
And when someone leaves the company, it's often if they're in a high-power field or position, it's either for retirement or for a promotion somewhere else. So an example of this is the former executive Paul Yanover,
uh-huh.
happens to be the CEO of Fandango.
Oh, just so happens.
Just so happens. That is why he left Disney after working there for right. many, many years. And also, spoiler alert, you know what Fandango owns?
What do they own?
Rotten Tomatoes. You know what Rotten Tomatoes is?
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep. Digest it. Soak it in.
How? How is that allowed?
I don't know. Wouldn't you think it would be essentially a conflict of interest?
Yeah, because like...
But not if they buy it. Because then they can just give good reviews to the movies that they want to sell the most tickets on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how is that not a conflict of interest? Like, you own a company that sells movie tickets and...
Mm-hmm.
Movie ticket sales are heavily based on movie reviews.
Mm-hmm.
What's a movie review website that's incredibly popular? Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So your movie ticket sales
mm-hmm.
heavily rely on Rotten Tomatoes. How are you allowed to buy? How? How?
There is a saying about movies that, and I'm not, I don't remember who exactly said it,
uh-huh.
where they literally said you can make more with a flop than you can with a hit.
Huh.
That pops into my mind right now.
It
if a movie gets bad reviews, but the reviews are so bad where people are like, oh my god, this is laughable,
you have to fucking see it.
Fandango is still making money. Conversely, something like Endgame, everyone is like, holy shit, that's such a good movie, I gotta go see it. Fandango's still making money. It seems like the only way they'd lose out if it's like a middle of the road review. Yeah.
I don't love it.
Mm-mm. That...
It feels real ick.
Yeah, that crosses the line for me personally, too, as far as, like, everything that Disney was doing up until now seems like good business. And then Fandango comes in and is like, whoop, nope.
Yeah, that feels real shady.
That's the unethical side.
It feels shady. It feels like...
But now you know.
The more you know.
So with that, I do want to touch on antitrust laws really quickly.
Okay.
Because you may have seen the infographic that went around. Title Max, of all fucking people, actually put out an infographic of all of the companies that Disney owned as of 2020.
Yeah. It just registered in my brain.
So they have an infographic going around. It looks like Mickey's head, but it has all the companies in it. You've probably seen it. Probably. I think it was on Instagram or TikTok or something. But it shows all the companies that they own.
It's wild. It's a lot.
It's over like 300 or something. Because it's a subsidiary. I remember that was like a subsidiary,
a whole problem too when they were trying to buy 20th Century Fox, because they were like, you hold too much of a fucking monopoly. You can't.
Exactly.
But eventually they let them buy it.
Yep.
But I remember that. That was, because that was recent. That was like 2018, was it not?
You're right. It was very recent. Relatively recent. It was recently. Within the past like few years. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I want to touch on antitrust laws. Because technically, Disney's not doing anything illegal. Every move that Disney has made business-wise, as far as consolidating, as far as buying, as far as operating businesses, none of them are within a conflict of interest. The ones that are, aka Fox Sports, Fox News, they've sold because they already had ABC News, ESPN. So everything that they have currently, as far as that infographic is concerned, yeah, they have a good team of lawyers. They know what they're doing. And they're dipping, what they're doing is dipping their finger in every pot. Because that's not illegal, according to the antitrust laws of 1914 and the Sherman Act of 1890.
I'm sorry, we haven't updated those since 1914?
Nope.
It is 2022.
Yep.
The year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord.
It's been over 100 years. We should probably update those. Just a thought.
Yeah.
I mean, unrelated.
The bones of it, though, still stand as far as, like, businesses and, like, technically what it says is that, like, a monopoly is created when the company owns more than a 50% or 75% stake in whatever market they're
But doesn't there one market that they own 52? You listed a bunch of markets.
No. So the market share is different.
Oh.
A market share... Okay. Sorry, I should have defined that. Market share is essentially... It's a pigeonhole on the market, but it's not that they're monopolizing the market. So
got it. Okay.
It's essentially a preference.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So like when... Like those YouTube surveys. Do you get those YouTube surveys?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they ask you, like, how likely are you to buy from these companies, or which is your favorite company, or which is your favorite ad? That's what they're doing. Those are market share surveys.
Gotcha. Okay.
So basically 52% or 53% or whatever of the parks / entertainment / experience category that they sell. Yeah. Wait, what?
I covered my mouth like this. And I said, I don't know why I did it like that.
I didn't even fucking notice. I was like, that doesn't matter.
She is so used to me. Like, there's a clip. It's from, like, episode two. And she's looking through her notes, and I'm all... And she doesn't even look up. And all she says was, that's a good pigeon noise. So used to me at this point.
And now I look back, and it's one of the funniest things we've ever fucking done.
Because you don't even, like, your facial expression doesn't change.
Yeah, I'm not phased at all. I'm just like, this fucking note. And then I'm like, damn, that was a good pigeon noise.
Like, just like,
but yeah, no, so we have, you're correct. We have not updated those in over 100 years.
That's interesting. I feel like maybe
deserves
a revisit.
Yeah, so I mean, the bones of it are still good in the sense of, like if there were three TV stations,
right,
and each of us owned one, I couldn't buy yours and Christian's.
Right.
I could buy Christian's, but I can't buy yours and Christian's, and I can't pressure you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair.
Yeah, so essentially that's what they're escaping, is by doing this good business sense, kind of essentially. Like, yeah, they're just like, that's why we buy some GoPro, that's why we buy some... technology software company. That's why we buy some of this. That's why we buy this.
Can we hate them for being good at their job?
Exactly.
I mean, they're really just fucking great at their job.
Honestly, yeah. They're a titan, and there's a reason they're a titan.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to buy, like, Nick.
Well, yeah, that makes
sense. Because it's a direct competitor.
Yeah.
And there has to be a healthy... That's what the laws basically did, was, like, ensure the... healthy competition, quote unquote,
right,
in every market,
and that makes sense,
and kind of kept capitalism going. But
you know,
I mean, the alternative would be like a weird dictatorship type situation.
A weird Disney dictatorship.
Yeah. But also, so then the last thing I wanted to touch on with this too is, does Disney really control the minds of our generations, Or are they just growing with us? And the reason I say that, Disney has grown tremendously specifically within our lifetimes. We're both 90s children, if y'all hadn't figured that out. It was not this big in the 90s. It was not this big in the 80s. It was the 1980s. Were a very, very, very dark time for Disney.
Okay.
1980s were very dark in the sense Disney Studios had rejected George Lucas and rejected the first Star Wars because they didn't see the market heading that way.
You know what's wild, though? Pause.
They own them now.
They own them now.
Mm-hmm. Fucking wild.
They like, really paid for their mistake.
Mm-hmm. We fucked up hard.
Absolutely.
Anyway, moving on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no one, basically the execs at that time did not see the market turning that way. They didn't see the market for a sci-fi. They thought sci-fi was essentially financial suicide at the box office. So that's why they didn't pick up Star Wars.
That's quite a misjudgment.
Also, a lot of other big studios, though, declined Star Wars as well. So it wasn't his first no, but whew. But then after Star Wars became such a big hit, everything that Disney kept putting out was a huge flop at the box office. Mm-hmm. And so then the execs saw there was a great idea to reinvent themselves and the movies that it launched in an attempt to entice teens and somewhat the market that Star Wars had captured.
Right.
So they ended up making The Black Cauldron. That was the late 80s.
I was going to say, I've never even heard of that.
It's a shitty movie. they ended up making Something Wicked This Way Comes.
I don't even know if I've seen
it. Based on the Ray Bradbury, I think it's Ray Bradbury, novel. Again, another weird fucking movie. And then they also made a movie to, quote unquote, directly compete with Star Wars called The Black Hole.
How'd that go?
Well. So that those were all live action movies.
Right.
But Disney took a real, real weird, dark turn in the 80s.
Didn't go well for them.
Didn't go well for them. Also, too, all of those films are very, like, dark. Just storyline, acting, actual filmography. It's so dark and, like, minimal color, and it's very weird.
Very, like, opposite of what they normally do.
It looks like Disney was fucking depressed in the 80s, and they just had a damn field day with
Weren't
it.
Weren't we all?
Weren't we?
Not even more. Like,
that satanic panic really hit us hard.
Really,
man.
Got good.
Yeah, so they all flopped. The Black Cauldron, I believe, was in either 89 or 87, and that one is like a cult classic now.
Really?
But also, when you say cult classic, it doesn't necessarily mean it's good. It just means it has good elements to it.
And it just means that a specific group of people really fucking love it.
Exactly. So
it doesn't necessarily mean that it's popular.
Yeah, not loved by the masses. So basically what ended up happening was Disney's next biggest hit was The Little Mermaid.
Oh, that's my favorite.
So with that, and that becoming their next biggest hit, and then just having princess movie on princess movie on princess movie, and then building that empire, and then progressing further into everything that we knew in our childhood, are they really trying to control our minds for our generation, or are they just growing with the demographic that accepted them?
It's a little hard because on the one hand, you know, if you just look at the like filmography part of it, it really does just look like they're growing with the generation that was accepting of them and loved them the most. But then when you factor in the psychological aspects that they use in the parks and the marketing aspects, it's not great. Not to mention they are one of the six companies that controls all of the media in the U.S. Is it the U.S. or the world?
U.S.
U.S. It's not a great feeling.
They do also have international assets, though.
I'm sure they do.
They have assets in China and Russia and...
doesn't feel coincidental, I will say that.
Yeah. Is that different than any other company, though? I mean, I don't want to say any other company because obviously like Disney cannot be compared as far as scale.
Not scale, but I would like to think at least influence in terms of my mind. I feel like my mind is equal parts Disney, Nickelodeon, and Cartoon Network from at least my childhood. Like, I was heavily influenced by all the things that I watched. Obviously, all kids
for sure.
are.
Yeah.
So in terms of film and stuff, I don't think so. But then you get into like the actual nitty gritty of the psychological effects that they use to entice you in your parks, and it explains a lot when you really love Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Really explains a lot of why you like miss Disneyland. And like I told her earlier, I was like, I miss Disneyland.
We were just talking about this.
Yeah. Literally just talking about it. I miss Disneyland. I want to go to Disneyland. Blah, blah, blah.
When you said Disneyland feels homey, I almost died. Because you haven't heard my notes yet.
I knew
the first thing I was bringing up was the smellitizer. And I was like, she's going to see this.
But really, that's really what it is. And then you said the real estate thing. And I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. That's why Disney feels homey.
Yep. That's absolutely
what it does.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, can we compare it to any other business? Because a lot of businesses use sales psychology.
Yeah.
I learned sales psychology for my job. Christian knows sales psychology. Like, is there a difference between sales psychology and the psychology that Disney has employed? If there isn't, then is that even okay to use? Or is it just
I feel like if it good were, business? I feel like if it only it were only one element of what they've done, it would be like, oh, it's fine. You know, it's just like sales psychology, or it's just, you know, using your olfactory system, or it's just putting out films that the masses respond to. Mm-hmm. But because it's all together, it feels icky. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's how I always describe everything. If we ever make merch, I'm going to make one that just says icky across it.
It feels icky.
but like it just feels almost like they are intentionally trying to manipulate you. Mm-hmm. It could go both ways.
Yeah.
It could really go both ways. I would like to think that Disney just doesn't do that.
Yeah, no, oh, absolutely.
I would really like to think that they don't, but also... Yeah.
I would like to think that they have our best interests at heart, and they're really just, like, trying to learn more about who they've attracted and how they can best serve.
But also, I know that capitalism can be a really brutal environment. Mm-hmm. And it can really foster some negative things. So
an insidious environment. Mm-hmm. I will say, and this has nothing to do with anything I brought up because I didn't bring it up before, but I would love to think of Best of Disney.
Absolutely.
However, then too, also doing all this research doesn't impact how I feel about them at all, because right. I'm viewing it as sales psychology. I'm viewing it as it's good business sense. They're not monopolizing. They're not doing anything illegal to what I found. Obviously, that's not.
It's not an end all be all. Yeah.
Exactly. But. It's so funny that we just use the same fucking thing because no one fucking says that.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, like, not that we have any, like, say in it, but it seems more like just good business sense of sales psychology.
You said it like 12 times, but I'm out of alcohol, so.
No, you're fine. But it's not like they're doing anything illegal to what I've found. That would make me feel a little bit more uneasy if I saw them trying to go around things and whatever. But from what I can tell, it seems like they're doing everything the way they should be. They're just using sales psychology, and in that instinct, like, I'm just like, I don't think anything of it because I just know that it's sales psychology. But also, when then you read about reviews from like former cast members mm-hmm. and how they're getting paid minimum wage and they don't get breaks and they get limited water breaks and they get this and blah, 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 blah. And like, it's not as magical on the back end as it is to us, the visitors and consumers. That has a disconnect, and that I have a problem with, because then Absolutely. That makes it feel like, oh, you don't have my best interest, or maybe you have my best interest, but you don't but have not your employees' best interest.
And they should be your priority.
Exactly. They're also, in my research, I found out that they are one of the leading opponents to providing paid sick leave for their employees.
They provide the most sick leave or the least?
No. They're an opponent to providing it at all.
Oh, they don't like it.
They don't want to.
Oh.
They don't want to give you paid sick leave at all if you're an employee.
That's gross. You should fix that.
Yep. Which is...
The people who work for you are actual people.
Yep, exactly.
And you should treat them as such.
I took it personally doing the research because, you know, one of my biggest dreams was always to work at Disney and do either set design or interior design. I'm so inspired by the rides that we go on, and I always have been. But then when hearing that... That's I don't want to work for Disney. I don't.
Absolutely.
Like, that puts me off so much. And I have always looked into it. I don't want something that it's been a goal, but it's also been such a huge part of my childhood mm-hmm. and like growing up, and it has influenced me so much. I don't want to have that illusion shattered.
Absolutely.
They always say, don't meet your heroes. And that's kind of what keeps coming to
absolutely.
Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and honestly, like, it's a little disheartening to have so many fond memories come from a company like Disney, mm-hmm. and then to find out that they are treating the people who are, like, making those memories for you like trash. I think it's important to support companies that treat their employees like people, mm-hmm. To treat their employees well and mm-hmm. provide for them well. But honestly, unfortunately, that is a product of the culture that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Our capitalism has really taken over our culture and has really created this like mindset of work first and everything else comes second. And
money over everything.
Money over everything. Mm-hmm. And while that's all well and good, it's not realistic because it doesn't work for anyone.
No.
Because your employees can't do their best work if they can't even afford to live.
Exactly. And so, when characters, when they have to have prior acting experience, and when you have to have a degree in acting, and then you're getting paid minimum, which isn't even minimum as far as like cost of living, it's just like minimum because state law says it's minimum.
Right.
And that's which, sad.
Depending on what state you're in, it's not great.
No.
For a company that made, what was it, $107 billion
plus royalties
in revenue?
From products alone.
From products alone. It's a slap in the face to their employees. Absolutely. To not pay them a livable wage when you made $107 billion on merch alone.
Exactly.
You can afford to do it. You're choosing not to. And that's gross because those people deserve to have good lives.
Absolutely.
And they work very hard to make sure that people enjoy their lives.
But yeah, so does that mean that Disney is trying to infect our mind and kind of allow us to turn a blind eye to the things that they may be doing on the back end?
I feel like where we're at now, it could really go either way. And I think only time will tell on it because as of right now, they're not technically breaking any laws. They're not technically doing anything wrong. But I feel like they've definitely, in the recent years, inched closer towards the barrier of where they can be.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're definitely testing the waters of how far they can push it.
Yeah.
So it's really, unfortunately, it's really one of those things we just have to wait and see.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because, I mean, gross. This is the height of their
success.
Empire, yeah, right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
And those can only go two different ways. So
it can either get real good or it can either get real bad. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds as we grow.
Absolutely. But yeah, that is all that I have for you guys.
That was really interesting.
Thank you. Oh, I'm glad you liked it. I was worried that it wasn't going to be conspiratorial enough.
But I really feel like it is because it really could go either way. Yeah. It could just be like good business practice, but it could also be like more subliminal than it appears on a paper, you know?
Absolutely. And I know we both love Disney so much. And so I was also hesitant to do it because I was like, I don't want to ruin this for either of us.
It's hard.
But you need to know. Absolutely. You need to know what's going on. So.
You need to know where you're putting your support and your money. So
absolutely.
It's important to have a full view of what you are really... Yeah, what you're really getting yourself into.
Absolutely. And I will say, too, they own a lot of other companies. And, of course, the ones I mentioned, it's over, like, 300, whatever. They do own some...
We don't have time to list all
that. Yeah, but they do own some, like, good companies as far as, like, when I looked into them, they looked like they were nonprofits. They looked like they were...
Which is cool.
...doing good things for the world. They were promoting diversity. They were promoting culture. They were promoting, like, environmentalism, like, stuff like that. So it's not like... Disney is black and white, cut and dry, bad, good. It looks like they are attempting to do some good things. They are attempting to put their money into what seems like good, charitable, positive businesses and outcomes.
And that's, I appreciate that.
So, yeah.
I mean,
like
I said,
the end of the day.
At the end of the day. First of all, at the end of the day. I feel like, I said this earlier, I feel like it could really go either way. Like, it could really be, they could be this powerhouse that changes the world for better, or they could also really push us into a negative space. So
Absolutely. It'll
be interesting to see where we end up and where it's headed over the next couple of years and the rest of our lives, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, their empire is at their peak
for sure
right now. So what they decide to do with it. Is it a hero origin story or is it a villain origin story?
Ooh.
Orange story.
That was so good until you got to orange.
God damn it. Is it a hero origin story or is it a villain origin story?
Nice. That's a good one. That was very like cinematic of you.
Marvel, give me a call. I'd still like to work for you guys, even though I've heard your shit to your employees.
I can't wink, so don't hire me.
I'll wink for Meg.
Thank you. Very good. All right, guys.
But yeah, so what do you think, though?
What do you think? Do you think that they're here to make our world better? Or do you think they're mind controlling us?
It sounds like you're talking about aliens right now.
Damn.
You're like, this isn't the same episode of the podcast. This is the only one we didn't bring up aliens in, actually. Whoa. So now we've done that.
And I wore my alien earrings.
Aren't they cute?
They're so cute.
So cute. But yes, do you think that Disney is actually trying to get to know us as consumers and wants to do what's best for us and wants to serve us in the best way that they can? Mm-hmm. Or do you think it's a little bit mind control-y? Do you think it's sales psychology? Or do you think that it's manipulation? Or you think that capitalism's controlling us, or just businesses in general? That's the one I vote for.
But if you're not following us or subscribe to us, mm-hmm. go ahead and do that. The button's going to be somewhere down here.
Like, comment,
share.
Mm-hmm. Like, comment, share. Fucking Christ.
Like, comment, share. Our Instagram is at Conspiracy Complex Podcast. Our Twitter is at Cons Complex Pod. Not Pob. Throwback to episode one. Our TikTok is at Conspiracy Complex Podcast.
We don't have much up there, but we will try.
We're working on getting some content.
It's new.
It's new, and it's something I'm in charge of, and I am not a good person. Not that I'm not good at being in charge of things. I am not good at remembering to do things.
You literally were like, and I'm not a good person.
That's not what I meant. I'm not a good person to be like, hey, remember to do this.
Oh, if you are listening to this on a podcast platform, thank you, thank you.
We appreciate.
Feel free to follow or turn on the notifications, whichever your platform lets you do. We are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Cast, Anchor, and like three other platforms I don't necessarily remember the name of. If you're on YouTube, then our YouTube channel is Conspiracy Complex Podcast. Mm-hmm. Feel free to subscribe right on over here.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
Yeah, let us know what you think of this conspiracy. Let us know what you want us to do for next time. Mm-hmm. Although Meg sounds like she's got something picked out, but feel free to send in those suggestions. We are in the middle of our celebrity series. This one was again celebrity adjacent, but celebrity that works adjacent. Too.
Yeah.
So let us know and hit us in them DMs. Uh-huh. That's at Honey Meg if you have a boyfriend application you'd like to drop. Actually, no. Send those my way because I will screen them and then send them to her.
She is trying to hook me up in every realm possible. Like, she really trying to pin me out is honestly what's happening here.
Listen, if you take her out for a drink, just buy two. And just send the other one to the end of the bar. That's where I'll be sitting.
Look for the weird person in a fake mustache. It's Delaney spying on our date.
But I will just be wearing a pimp jacket. And it's going to be like all faux fur and like bright purple. But the fake mustache will...
Just slide it down the bar. She'll catch it. It'll be like a movie. It'll be great.
Exactly. Just it. And then I'll be drunk with y'all too. So I don't
She's
know
my security.
That's
Bye.
Bye. Ha ha ha.